The following program is sponsored by Online Trading Academy of Kansas City.
Today's show is provided for entertainment and general information purposes. Opinions expressed are those of the presenter only. We make no promises or guarantees of investment performance. Online Trading Academy is not a broker-dealer, certified financial planner, or registered investment advisor. Online Trading Academy is the world's most trusted name in professional trader and investor education. Enjoy the show.
Hello, future traders and investors, and welcome to Power Trading Radio. I'm Christopher Crum. I'm in studio today with my good friend and co-host, Mr. Matthew McGrath.
Hey, Chris, how are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you, Matt, and welcome to the studio.
Thank you.
If you're brand new to the show, this show is fueled by a company called Online Trading Academy. And if you're unfamiliar with Online Trading Academy, well, let me just take a few minutes and fill you in on what it is that we do. Our purpose in this world is to teach traders and investors how to make money in the financial markets. And most of the people we work with, well, all the people we work with are just the average Joe, I guess, if you will.
Right.
In other words, these aren't people that are coming from Wall Street or the Chicago Mercantile Exchange with their broker's license.
Right.
These are folks that have a sincere interest in learning how to trade stocks, options, currencies, or futures, and learning how to do so to either A, trade their money in the markets so that they can create income through frequent buying and selling in the financial markets, or B, grow wealth over time. And that's how we do it.
Yeah.
Is we invest in an asset that is likely to appreciate in value. And then over time, obviously, we can use that money as a source of income.
Right.
Like, for example, maybe when we retire, we can use that money to pay the mortgage.
That's the goal, right?
Right. Yeah, that's the goal. So that's what we do at the Academy. We have some folks that come to the Academy that love their jobs. I mean, really, truly love that job that they go to every day. And it's something that they don't want to quit. They're immersed in their career. They're making a contribution to society that they love. And yet, maybe they're just not making as much money as they'd like to.
Sure.
And so they'll go do some part-time trading just to supplement that income. That way they can afford to go on that five-star vacation once a year,
yeah,
or twice a year, live in their dream home maybe, or drive the dream car.
Yeah.
Then we've got folks that don't like their jobs so much.
Right.
And I think the statistic, we talked about it on the show 3 weeks ago, you know, my mind used to be a steel trap. Now it's kind of like a rusty, leaky bucket. But it was over 50% of Americans that dislike their job.
Yeah. Unbelievable.
Hate that it's a rut for them. They hate getting in the car in the morning. These are the people that show up at 5 minutes till eight, and they want to leave at 5 minutes till five, right? Because
right.
They can't wait to get a. They don't want to arrive, and they can't wait to go home.
Yeah, that's sad.
And well, it is sad because you know that's a third of your life that you're spending, and doing something that you really is torment for you. When, you know, in fact, you could be trading the financial markets, replacing that income. How many scores of graduates over the years have we had leave that rut of a job to enjoy a lifestyle of freedom and unlimited earning potential?
Now, unbelievable number. Just a few last week. And you were talking about people who love their job, but decide to, you know, stick with the job, even though they've replaced their income from trading. We had two teachers just last week that enrolled in our program that met that category. They're very passionate about what they do.
Sure. And then, of course, there are those that really don't have an interest in learning how to trade, that is, buy and sell with any frequency, but rather they'd want to grow that wealth bucket. Or we've had people that have run into some money, you know, an inheritance. And by the way, you know, Allison and I have been doing estate planning with an estate planning attorney, and he told us in one of our more recent meetings that the statistic, the average recipient of an inheritance, doesn't matter the size of the inheritance, they burn through it within 18 months.
Wow.
And then they're back to square one again.
That surprises me, actually. I mean, I'm surprised it's not
I was shocked
term,
at the statistic.
But 18 months.
18
That's
months.
That's unbelievable.
Yep. And so, you know, we've had people that have come to the Academy because they're like, I just came in with all this money, and I don't want to blow through it, and I don't want to burn it, so I want to understand what to do with this money. And those people want to become what we would call a proactive investor.
Right.
And that's somebody who's leveraging the financial markets to create a superior return and let that money continue to work for them and then grow that nest egg at an exponential rate. But they're also hedging that money just the same way that Wall Street does,
exactly,
using options,
yep,
as an insurance policy. So, you know, if you're going to go out in the markets and assume the risk of the markets, because you've probably heard the financial markets are unpredictable and risky, Well, if there's a way to ensure that money that you have at risk, why wouldn't you do it?
Of course.
And so that's what our long-term investors want to do. They want to figure out how to make returns at the speed of light, how to grow these accounts really, really fast, so that they can have income for later in
their life. And also protect that money.
And then protect it, yeah.
And Chris, you bring up a good point. The way that most retail investors, people that are uneducated, accomplish that is they purchase an annuity. And that's one of the most common investments that seniors have in this country. And, of course, the benefit of an annuity is that it guarantees your rate of return and sometimes even a small rate of return. So even if there is a crash or a correction, at least you didn't lose any money. The problem, though, with an annuity is they underperform the market, and also they have the highest of fees, even higher than mutual funds. You know, in the free workshops that you give away, we teach students how to create their own annuity without paying those fees.
Right.
And getting superior returns. It's very easy.
And then your money's protected as well.
Exactly.
So if either of those concepts resonate with you, if you think you would enjoy the freedom of schedule that comes to being a high-frequency trader, maybe it's unlimited earning potential, obviously. There's an upside to that, right?
Right.
If you're excited about that idea, if you think you could be excited about managing your own long-term investments while you create wealth over time, well, here's an idea. Why don't you check us out on the World Wide Web at TradingAcademy.com. That's T-R-A-D as in Dan. TradingAcademy is all one word, .com. TradingAcademy.com. It's a great place to get started. And by the way, it's a very comprehensive website. We have got so much stuff out there for you to get started with. And it's pretty interesting reading. We mention quite often that there is actually, if you're interested in this type of subject matter, there is it's not a newsletter. We kind of refer to it as a newsletter, but what would you call Lessons from the Pros?
Gosh, it is hard to come up with a name for that, but I can tell you what it is it's articles from our most successful traders
and
our instructors. They're also professional traders, and these are heavy hitters. I mean, hedge fund managers, former CME floor traders, just incredible people that are very successful traders, and they're teaching you, basically. It's much, much more than a newsletter, and that's free for anybody.
Right, you sign up for it, and you'll get an email once a week from Online Trading Academy saying that it's been published, and you click a link and you'll end up at the site, and then you can read the articles. And these things are archived all the way back to 2012.
Right.
You can't imagine how many articles there are out there that were written by these professional traders.
I just used one last week in one of my trades.
Did you?
Yeah.
Nice. Hey, I think we've got a great show for you guys today. We always try to have a great show for you. We're going to try to bring a little bit of humor to the hour, as well as maybe teach you some things about trading and investing in the financial market. So I hope you're going to stick around. And through the breaks, I'm going to be giving away some pretty cool things right now. If you're a little confused about what you're doing right now, well, you're listening to Power Trading Radio with Christopher Crum and
Matt McGrath.
So after one of our workshops last week, at least, you and I shared doing a workshop. We split it up. I did the first part of it, and you did the crescendo, if you will, and that you're very good at. So, but on the break, one of the participants in the workshop came up to me, and of course, stuck out like a sore thumb, because he wasn't really dressed nicely. In fact, wearing those, he's a young guy in his 20s. Long hair, scraggly beard.
I can't remember.
Baggy
this
pants
person.
Type of a guy.
What day was this?
Had the job killing Nick tattoo. If you know what I'm talking about. And
I can't believe. And usually, again, I have a very good memory, but I cannot remember that guy.
Well, and I bring him up. He's a nice young kid, and he's interested in the markets. But he wanted to ask me a question, and he said that he has been getting these advertisements and noticing them on social media about the marijuana industry and how this is the time to get in and buy your marijuana stock. And he wanted to know my opinion about buying marijuana stock. And I said, well, so if I wanted to invest in a stock, first of all, I'd want to look at the company financials and see if it is green and growing. No pun intended.
Right.
We know marijuana is green and growing, at least the kind you smoke, Matt. And,
oh, yeah.
But you want the financials to be green and growing. You want them to, year over year, increase the revenue as well
sure.
as the company profits. Because if we're buying stock, then we're buying equity in that company. We want the company to be more and more successful. That helps to increase interest from other speculators, and then makes them want, as more and more people want to buy it and compete for buying it, they drive the price up.
Sure.
Well, so that's number one. And then number two, I said, you kind of want to make sure they sell a product that's actually legal.
Right.
And, you know, that's, and maybe that should be number one.
Right.
If it's a company that's selling illegal drugs, then, you know, I don't know that that's the best, most sound investment.
Right. And again, I get this question all the time, and it usually is from younger people. You know, it's okay to invest in that as long as you understand that it is speculative. I think a lot of people assume because so many more states now are coming on board and legalizing marijuana, at least for medicinal purposes, that means that it's going to really take off when companies get into it. But remember, there's two factors involved here. There's going to obviously be more there's going to be more supply, right, of marijuana if it becomes legalized,
sure,
right, in
yep.
more states. But I'm not so certain that that means there'll be more demand. I mean, do you think that people who don't smoke marijuana now are more likely to smoke it if it does become legal?
I don't, but, you know, and I get what you're saying. I think in this equation, though, is that a lot of people buy it illegally.
Right.
Therefore, it's not taxed or regulated, and that money doesn't necessarily go through a company that is being publicly traded.
Sure. I was watching something on television recently on CNBC, a study about that, and they were talking about how since it has become legalized in more states that a lot of people who got into it and now farm that have gone bankrupt from it. I mean, the business has actually failed. So, I mean, just because more states are making it legal doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to take off.
Yeah, you got a good point. So probably out in Colorado.
It was in Washington State.
Okay.
They were looking at a couple of different people who do that for a living now. I mean, it is legal.
Sure.
And but they
well,
both
it's legal in the state,
up. Right?
But on a federal level, it's not legal.
Right.
And do you think the New York Stock Exchange is going to pick up on some pot company and
right.
then put a ticker symbol on their exchange?
Like I said, but the problem with all of this is it's all speculative, you know, and that's okay. I think it's okay to have some speculation in your portfolio. You know, for example, I own an ether mining company. I don't know if you even knew that. You know, ether is one of those cryptocurrencies like Bitcoin. Obviously, I went into that knowing that was a huge risk. But, you know, the upside, if you know, if that does take off, is it can literally make you over $10 million.
Right.
So that's okay, but you don't want to put your entire portfolio into something like a marijuana company or an ether mining company.
Yeah, you know, I think that it's a pretty good rule of thumb. The majority of your portfolio should be actually purchased through a genuine
yes.
regulatory type of
that's
environment.
That's why you don't want to do penny stocks, right?
Right. You don't want to do penny stocks for the same reason.
It's not a regulated exchange.
But, you know, to me, right now, I think back to the dot-com era, Matt, and I think about all of the people that are like, oh, I'm going to go out and buy me some dot-com stock,
yeah.
where most of these companies were just shills.
Yeah.
And I can open up any company in the world and go ahead and produce 50 million shares of stock and say, here, Matt, and have a compelling reason for you to buy stock in my company, even though I don't have earnings, right? And people that don't understand this, you know, they'll go out and go, oh, yeah, this could be a big deal. I'll go ahead and put $1,000 in this.
Yeah.
You don't know this story, but I had an aunt and an uncle on my dad's side. My aunt's name was Connie Constance. Well, we lost her to cancer at age 58 here years ago. And her husband was Frank. And Frank was kind of a shyster, if you will. I'll just lay it on the table, man. He had an insurance company out in Salt Lake City. And if he's listening, we don't miss you, Uncle Frank. But he so he was constantly forming these new corporations and companies. And my grandmother, who was an entrepreneur, she's always looking for a place. So he would come and visit for Christmas, or she would visit him, and he would corner her.
Oh, no.
And then throw a sales pitch on her about these stocks. And he had stock certificates actually printed up at the time. This is back in the 80s. And then he would sell people like her this stock that's going to – I remember once there was a medical device that somebody had invented, and you can actually repair a bone fracture with this, and then it would just dissolve and be a part of your bone.
Right.
Which sounds pretty amazing. My sister just broke her ankle. She's got a metal plate in her ankle now.
Sure.
And pins in there. And so my grandmother at the time, I think she invested $20,000 into this company.
No.
But what he'd end up selling all the stock, or he'd sell a bunch of stock, and then the company would go bankrupt for some reason or another.
Right.
Well, what happened to the money, Matt? What happened to the money that she paid for that stock? It went in his pocket.
Yeah, it went into his pocket.
And there are a lot of people out there that play this game. And you receive, you know, half of what you hear on the internet is true. So if you're looking at your Facebook page and you see this thing pop up that says you got to get into the marijuana stock business right now, well, we don't even know if it's a legitimate company. So, you know, it's better to learn about the markets and then make professional type decisions about you know, what it is you're going to be buying and selling or buying and holding in those markets.
Sure. And if it is a legitimate company, again, it's okay to buy that as long as you understand it is speculation. What we teach at our school is how to buy assets that are part of a regulated exchange, understanding there's risk involved in those, but we're also teaching you how to insure that investment.
Right.
So if there is a downturn in the market that affects that stock, we're not affected by that. And that's
right.
what options are used. And that's what a hedge fund manager does, by the way.
Right.
You know, very wealthy people with large accounts, they pay huge fees to hedge fund managers to do exactly what we're teaching you to do on your own.
But it's very hard to buy an option to sell, for example, an unregulated stock.
No,
that's what I'm saying. You know,
you
can't do it with penny stocks. So
no.
So, you know, the things that we teach at the Academy and teach people how to do, they're solid strategies proven over the last, we've been doing it for 20 years. So
yeah.
We know how to do it. We know how to teach people how to do it. We know how to teach the average Joe how to do it. And we know how to break it down into language that everybody understands. So that, I mean, our youngest student is 9 years old, for gosh sake. Or he was when he graduated
right.
the Futures
he
program.
He might be 10 by now.
So. It was in February of 2016.
Yeah.
He was 9, so he's probably 10 now. So he's a fourth or fifth grader,
right.
You know, trading the global futures market with his mother's money. So it's pretty cool.
It is cool.
You know, so you got to be selective about the things that you put in your portfolio. In fact, a long-term portfolio needs to be diversified. So that means that you can have a small amount of risk involved if you want to try and speculate on something like a penny stock. It's a little bit, but it's not going to be. It shouldn't be your way of life.
No,
the majority of your portfolio should be comprised of something called an exchange-traded fund, because that exchange-traded fund within itself provides instant diversification.
Yeah, it's automatically diversified and doesn't have near the fees that mutual funds have. And again, because it is something that can be traded, we can purchase options on them to insure them. And again, you can't do that with a mutual fund
right.
because mutual funds can't be traded.
Exactly. And typically, I mean, my rule of thumb is, Matt, I don't even like to buy stocks that are valued less than $12 per share.
Interesting.
Just because I believe that that's a much more stable company than if you're getting into something that's $2 a share.
Sure.
The lower the price is, the smaller the company is likely to be, less stable they are. And, you know, a lot of it has to do with the decisions. Of course, their success has to do with decisions at the top of the food chain in the company, their leadership.
Right. Sure.
But, you know, the S&P 500, here's case in point, that's America's 500 largest companies that are being publicly traded.
Right.
Most of whom are like huge financial companies. And the thing is, they're big and they're powerful and they're also very stable. But you don't see large swings in the price of their stock daily, weekly, monthly.
No.
You're going to see smaller swings. Now, if you go out to the Russell 2000, which is 2,000 smaller companies that are publicly traded, well, you'll see wild swings in that, won't you, Matt?
Yeah, it's definitely more volatile than the S&P 500 or the Dow Jones.
Yeah. So you need to have balance to your long-term portfolio. You need to have some type of an insurance on it if you're going to be in the financial markets. And then you need a good strategy for making sure that you can make money when the markets are going up or when the markets are going down.
Right.
And for us, it doesn't matter either way. We can still leverage the financial markets the same way that Wall Street does, just by simply moving our money from one asset to another. If the world came to an end tomorrow, if the Dow Jones dropped by 5,000 points with no chance of potential recovery, at least not for the next 4 or 5 years, I certainly don't want to accept a loss on that.
No.
And lose a fourth of my portfolio. I certainly don't want to sit there and not make money while I'm sitting here waiting for the markets to recover.
Yeah, and you make a good point, though, Chris, because that's what most retail investors do. You know, I meet with students every week here who, when I ask them, how did you do in 2008, they'll say, Matt, I took a bath that year. I lost, you know, somewhere between 40 and 50% of my account, but I stuck it out, and now I'm back to even. Well, what about the last 9 years? Again, we don't want to miss out on our money growing. Doesn't it make more sense to protect yourself in the bad years using option strategies and then also make money in the good years so your money is always growing?
Right.
Right? We don't want to have a 9-year hiatus where we don't make any money.
No.
Right now,
so. And we accept that loss of 25%. Now you need to get at least 50% of your
right.
account back in order to get whole again. I mean, that's just how it works because you've got to replace that.
Right.
So you know what, if you got some good solid strategies, and part of what you said too that resonated with me is that the average investor, there are a lot of investors that go to professionals to have them do this, and the professionals do the same thing.
Yeah. And now we get to pay fees for them to do that.
Exactly, yeah. So there's a better way to do it. And, of course, at Online Trading Academy, we've got 45 locations across the United States and abroad where we teach people how to do this. And it's pretty awesome. Hey, during the break, by the way, if you have an interest in this, one of the best ways to get started is through our Power Trading Workshops. I'm going to give a handful of tickets away here if you want to stick around through the break, because we appreciate you listening to the show. If you're just joining us, we've been talking about marijuana on Power Trading Radio today.
They're probably going to think we've been smoking it.
Right. But we were talking more specifically about these obscure stocks that you can buy that are not necessarily regulated.
Yeah, they're not part of a regulated exchange. And I hear that all the time. You know, Matt, what do you think of this penny stock? What, Matt, do you think of that penny stock? Again, the reason we don't want to invest in penny stocks is, one, it's not part of a regulated exchange. And let me explain in detail what that means. You know, when you invest in a regulated exchange, like something that's traded on the New York Stock Exchange or the NASDAQ or the Chicago Mercantile Exchange, when you finally do go to sell that asset, there's a guarantee that there's a buyer on the other side of the exchange.
Sure.
Right? Mm-hmm. Okay, and something that's unregulated, like a penny stock, there is no guarantee that there's a buyer on the other side of the exchange. I actually have a friend who's caught up in that right now. He invested in a penny stock for a restaurant chain. I'm sure you've heard of them before. It's a well-known restaurant chain traded a penny stock. So anyway, he invested in that, and on paper, for the last 4 years, he's been up $40,000. He's actually shown $40,000 in profits, yet in 4 years, he's not been able to sell those shares.
Because nobody wants to buy
There's
it.
Not a buyer on the other side of the exchange. Right. And then penny stocks are also subject to more manipulation than any other.
That's a great point.
Oh, my God. Like, it's not uncommon for celebrities to tweet out that they really like this company to get their followers to buy shares of that,
right?
And then the celebrity sells their shares into that buying pressure to take the profits.
Yeah, I don't know if it's urban legend or not, but I have a story about 50 Cent.
That's one I was
okay
thinking, yes.
That supposedly bought some penny stock, and then he's got so many Twitter followers that he tweeted out that, hey, this is going to go through the roof over the next couple of days. And so if you got an extra $10 lying around or $100, whatever, go out and get this. I promise you, you'll be happy about it. And he created enough demand for that penny stock that it drove the price up. And then all he simply did was sell into those people that were buying it, because he'd already bought, and he made $500,000
in
several days.
That's the definition of market manipulation. And then I won't tell you how many boiler rooms there are that sell penny stocks that don't even exist.
Right.
You know, what was the movie with Leonardo DiCaprio? That was such a big
The Wolf of Wall Street.
The Wolf of Wall Street. What a classic example of that. You know, that's based on a true story.
Yeah.
Where he got his start was in one of those boiler rooms where they were selling stocks that didn't even exist.
Right.
And then that turned into actually quite a big firm on Wall Street.
Uh-huh.
And, of course, was eventually shut down and everything.
He had a yacht and a private jet.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, again, the allure to the retail investor to doing penny stocks, right, is because it doesn't cost much money, right?
Well, there's that aspect of it.
Right.
But isn't it just pure greed, too?
Well, they
think they're going to get rich overnight.
Yeah. I mean, if it's trading for only 20 cents, you know, when it does move up to $2 or $10 a share, you've made a fortune. But what I always tell people who in the workshops who are interested in trading penny stocks is, if the reason you're trading penny stocks is there's not a huge initial capital outlay involved, you don't have to invest a lot of money, and there's a big payoff, trade on a regulated exchange like the Forex market.
Right.
Now, you can open a Forex account with $50. You're not going to make any money if you do that. But you can realistically open a Forex account with $2,000 and make pretty decent money. You know, we teach you how to make $80 a day on a $2,000 Forex account. But again, when that account doubles now in 4 to 6 weeks and you have a $4,000 account, you can now target $160 a day in profits. And when that doubles now, you can target $320 a day in profits. In other words, you're not getting rich quick, but you're getting an incredible return on your money. You know, I just had a Forex student in one of our classes here a few weeks ago that came in to retake the class just for refresher training. He went through our program a year ago. You know, he's grown his $2,000 Forex account to $60,000.
Well,
right? Yeah. I mean, that actually is good money, and it's a regulated exchange.
Right.
And there is a buyer on the other side. It's not being subject to a manipulation by a celebrity, or we know that the currency does really exist. the British pound, we do know it exists.
Right.
I mean, you don't have to deal with any of these issues that we have to deal with in the penny stock market.
Yeah. You know, there's three different people that I can think of that would follow the scenario that you just brought up, which is starting off with a small account and then growing it into a large account. And that's by doing some high-frequency trading is what you're talking about. Four trades a day is
yeah.
what I call high-frequency. And but we have students that just hate their job, and they don't want to do the job anymore, and they could see themselves trading for a living, and but they don't have a lot to start with. So
right.
they start off with a $2,000 account, make $1,900 the first month. They leave the money in there. Then the next month they're targeting $180 a day
yeah.
in net profits, not including brokerage fees. And then they just let it grow like that, and it turns out to be a career for them. And then we have some people that show up at the academy, people that are in their 50s and even approaching 60 that just didn't do a good job of preparing for the day that they're going to leave that job, and then they need to have income. And the way you can get on track is to start off doing some high-frequency trading and build that account exponentially. Then you can eventually transfer that over into more of a proactive type of an environment
sure.
where you're more investing. More buy and hold, and then you're making that money grow for you. It grows at a little bit at a slower pace. Investing is a slower process than active trading.
But you're not having to manage it as often either, so that's what I do.
Right.
So once my futures account has X amount of dollars in it, money is automatically siphoned into my equities account, which is insured, by the way. Equities accounts are insured. And then also, it's a more of a passive approach. I'm not having to go into it daily.
No, right. Yeah. A couple times a month. Yeah. Several times. I think you do it more frequently.
Much better than average rate of return than most people get on it. But you're not going to get, right, like you said, the return that you would get trading four trades a day out of a futures account, for example.
Yeah, and it's not a return. You remember that time we
right.
were doing the workshop and we had that engineer that attended it? And,
yes.
And then we went through this example and showed him how it worked. If you're right on half your trades, you're losing on two, but you're winning on two out of the four. And you start with a $5,000 account, well, you're targeting $200 of profit a day. So We focus on risking only 1% of our account. So 1% of $5,000 would be $50. If you've got four trades, that's $200 total that you have at risk in the market that day. But it's unlikely you're going to be wrong on all four trades. But you have to be wrong on all four to lose money.
Yeah, and that's the beauty of that strategy.
If you're wrong on three, then you're going to break even. If you're wrong on two or right on two, then you're going to make that $200 a day. Because we target a 3-to-1 reward to risk ratio. So the ones that you ride on, you triple your money at risk.
Right.
And but at the end, this guy, you can see he's just, you know, his gears were grinding. The rust was, just smoke was coming out of his ears. And afterwards, he was just mad because he goes, I did the calculation on that, and that's over 800% return. You're telling me I could make an over an 800% return? Well, no, I don't think you can make an 800% return, but you can certainly take an account and make an awful lot of money with it. A return really refers to a long-term buy and hold investment, and that's
right.
what we're all kind of, everybody's been programmed to do that. We do it with our 401ks. You put money in that 401k, then it's distributed to a mutual fund, which is a buy and hold investment that's not insured in any way, shape, or form if the markets go up. If the stocks that occupy space in those mutual funds go up in price, then so does the value of your account. But if they go down, then so does the value of your account.
Right.
And that's what we're used to. But when you're actively buying and selling daily, weekly, monthly, and you're doing it with high frequency and you're moving a lot of volume through your account and you're doing it right, well, then that creates a lot of income. And that's what this is. It's profits from buying low and selling high and doing it with frequency. That's the difference, right?
Yeah.
So it's not necessarily, I never think of it as though it's a return. I think of it as though it's income that I'm creating. Now, I never spend the money in my account. It's part of my long-term goal is to grow that account. I pay taxes on it every year. Who cares? Basically pulling money out of thin air anyway and then leave it in the account. And we've got this nest egg. The other thing I love about it, doing it that way too, are the tax advantages too, because I am paying taxes
yeah.
on it up front and at today's tax rate. And so when I pull money out of that account and start spending it, if I ever do decide to slow down and retire, then I've already paid taxes on that stuff.
Well, and just like a business, by the way, if you're trading frequently enough, you actually can write off the expenses associated with your trading as well.
Yeah, and the futures market, there's kind of a special tax rule for that, isn't there?
Yeah, like 60, I mean, you literally pay a lower tax rate on futures and forex currencies. It's called the 60-40 tax rate, which means that you pay the short-term capital gains rate on 40% of your profits and the long-term capital gains rate on 60%. But then in addition to it being taxed lower, if you're trading frequently, in other words, you're not just an investor like everyone is, but you're actually trading frequently, you get to write off expenses associated with your trading.
Hey, stick around through the break. Segment 4 is coming up, and we've got some pretty cool things to share with you during that particular show. Also, stick around through the breaks. We'll be right back. Hey, folks, welcome back to Power Trading Radio. Hey, thanks so much for tuning in this weekend. We really enjoy doing the show. We wouldn't do it without you loyal listeners that set up your iPhone or your, you know, whatever device you've got that reminds you to want to listen to the show. If you're the first-time listener today, hey, welcome aboard. Hopefully you'll set up your device to remind you to watch the show. Same time, same channel again next weekend. But we do appreciate you guys listening to the show. We love doing it. One of the highlights of our week for me and Matt is to sit down alone together in the studio and with our producer,
it
of course,
is.
And,
I look forward
and record
to this
the
every
show.
Week.
So we look forward to it every single week. You know, so we've been talking about trading investing. That's what we talk about on Power Trading Radio. A little deviation from that in that we talked about marijuana today. But, you know.
A lot of things, actually.
I think it's a question that a lot of people have on their mind. If I buy this marijuana stock, is it going to go through the roof? Because I think that it's going to be, you know, legalized in every state in the country at some point, and these companies are going to grow. There might be something to that. I don't know. But yeah. I'm also a firm believer that we don't trade based upon the news. And, you know, you're speculating, first of all, that it's going to be legalized. You're speculating, second of all, that the company's actually going to prosper. And then you're
right.
also speculating, you know, that.
Yeah, we're assuming that,
so
one, it's legalized. And then, two, if it is legalized, that that's going to cause price to go up. And, again, just because there's more supply, right, if it's not legalized does not mean that there's going to be more demand.
Right.
There's a lot of ifs. And, again, this person could be right. And a short summary is go for it, but don't sink your entire life savings
right.
into it. That's
yes,
fine.
Exactly. Let's talk a little bit about the world of trading, because that's the sexy thing that we do at the Academy. And we already touched on it last segment, you know, with a $5,000 account. If you're trading with frequency, you could target around $200 a day.
Yep.
If you're trading some of these markets, you can trade 6 days a week. But if you're just trading five, like me and Matt do, then you'd be targeting about $1,000 a week or $4,000 a month on a $5,000 account. It's pretty good. Then you leave the money in there, and then it just grows from there, because we work from percentages rather than dollar amounts, I guess,
yeah.
if you will. So it's a pretty cool gig. Excuse me. Got the hiccups all of a sudden. And you can make as much or as little money as you want. That's what's neat about it. You know, we get people I get plenty of people that ask me, isn't this risky? And then I look at him, and I'm looking at this person that is miserable in their job, and they're going back and forth to work and just trading their most valuable asset, the time they have left on this earth, for a paycheck. And then I ask them, well, how would you make more money at your job? And the answer is typically, well, my boss would have to give me a raise. How long are you going to get to keep this job? Are you going to get to keep it until retirement? Or what if something changes? What if they need to lay people off? What's your boss going to do then? And what's riskier, by the way? Is it getting educated and understanding how to make money yourself, having unlimited earning potential, and you know, doing it on your own? Or is it more, you know, is it less risky to keep that job?
Well, and how about just from an investment standpoint? You know, we all have investments, at least I hope that we do, and you've always got to look at one versus the other. So what sounds more risky to you? Investing in low-fee assets that outperform mutual funds and placing an option on it to insure it. So if there is a crash or a correction over the course of the next year, we don't lose any money, or just buying and holding mutual funds in a 401k.
Right.
And that's when I get that question, I always cringe, because I know that what they're doing now is the definition of gambling.
Right.
That is the definition of risk. But since we've been children in this country, we've been taught, we've been conditioned to believe that that is the way you should do it.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah.
And when you come to Online Trading Academy, I've had more and more students tell me this after they go through the program. It is a total paradigm shift. Everything that you've ever learned about saving and investing is totally wrong.
Yeah.
It's totally the opposite of everything that you've learned.
Right.
And the only people that are successful at trading, the only ones, are the banks and financial institutions, and they don't do anything the way that they tell us to do it. Not right. in one way.
No. Nope.
Do you think that mutual fund managers invest their own money in mutual funds?
Of course not.
Well, why not? Well, it's a great investment.
You know, you and I both know this. I mean, the number of mutual funds that consistently outperform the market year over year is zero.
Yeah.
So some do outperform the market this year, but next year it's likely that they're not going
86% to. 86% underperform the market, and half of those underperform the market by half.
Right.
I mean, it's a considerably lower difference. I can tell you, the last time I worked with a student in the trade plan meetings, we actually delve into their investments. I can't remember the last time I met with someone who was getting anywhere near the market performance. You know, last year, 2016, our market was up 13%.
Yep.
For your listeners out there, I want you to look at your investment portfolio. Did you get 13% in 2016?
Right.
You know, I meet with dozens of people every week here, and I still have not met any that do.
Sure. Yeah.
That's risky.
It is risky. But from a job perspective, and I'm talking about trading here, of course, you know, how would you feel about getting up in the morning and spending 45 minutes to identify four low risk, high probability, meaning price is likely to go in the direction you want it to go, and high reward trades, and then just simply managing those trades based upon parameters that we've learned have worked over the last 20 years?
Yeah.
So you confine yourself to that box of rules, and that's your job. You're done in 45 minutes. Oh, and by the way, you're using an automated software, so you don't have to sit there anymore.
Right.
The software buys and sells for you, and that software can then be told to send you a text when it buys, told to send you a text when it sells, tells you how much money you made from your trade, and you could be doing some other distraction that you enjoy doing.
Yeah, it's fun. It's not time-consuming. It frees up your time to pursue your other passions in life.
Yeah, so what it really requires is that you have emotional discipline.
Yeah.
You got to have the rules that work, and then you've got to be disciplined enough to stay within the confines of those rules. And if you can do that, it's a lot like, I don't know, I used to be on a competition chili team, and we won an awful lot. And I made a batch of that chili up last week. It's a three-hour process that I use. And there are spices and ingredients that go in at certain times during that cook that make this chili turn into the chili, the extraordinary chili it is. I've named it Dr. Dungflinger's double flesh chili. That's what I call it, Dr. Dungflinger's. But you know what? Trading is much the same way. We go through a routine. A pre-trade routine. All we're looking to do is identify four assets that we can buy and sell that day that are low risk, meaning they're on sale, high probability. You know, we're likely to win on this trade, and then we want high reward. And we minimize our losses. We know we're going to have some losses. So those two we lose on out of the four, we lose a little bit of money, but we keep our gains big. You know, the scenario or the example we were talking about before with a $5,000 account, think about it. If you lose on two of those trades, you're only risking 1% of your account. You're going to lose two trades at $50 for a total of $100. But if I'm going to triple my money at risk on the ones that I'm right, that means I've got two winners at $150 each. And that puts me in the position where I'm walking out with $300 in gross profit. Subtract your losses, 100, now you're down to 200.
Yeah,
right,
that's a lot of money per 5,000 that you have in your account.
It is, per day.
You know, we have a lot of people that start with more than that. You know, a $10,000 account, that comes out to 400 a day. A $20,000 account, $800 a day.
Right.
I mean, it's a lot of money.
So most people that do trade, they'll trade a leveraged asset like futures, the global futures market, which is open, by the way, 23 hours a day, 6 days a week. So listen, you can always find time to sit down for that 45 minutes and set up four trades. The global currencies market, which is still the largest market in the world, and will typically there'll be $5 trillion that change hands in that market every day that it's open. But they're both leveraged assets, and not only that, but both of those markets offer, and I hate to use the word volatility because it's a scary word, but we want to see dramatic swings in both ways. What the price is going to
be. Yeah, we want something that moves so that we can make some money. Remember, our downside is going to be limited because we've got that rule in place. You and I both use a 1% loss. So that means that going into the trade, we already know how much we're going to lose if we're wrong, which is 1% of our account. But if we're trading an asset with high volatility, like Forex or futures, the upside is much greater now.
Yes.
Yeah. Whereas a slower moving asset like stocks or ETFs or options, it's harder to get that larger reward risk ratio.
Right. And the important thing to understand, too, if you're brand new to this, is that we make money no matter what happens. Price just has to move.
Right.
We don't care if it's going up. If we know price is going up today, then we'll do something called a long position. That simply means we're going to buy the asset low, and then we'll sell it at a higher price later for a profit. But if we know the markets are going down, then we're going to take a short position. And this is something that was contrived by Wall Street so that they could make money on a down market.
Exactly.
That's how Goldman Sachs made $9 billion, as with a B, in 2008 when the markets were declining. All we're doing here quickly is simply borrowing shares of stock from our broker, and then we'll sell it. We'll sell those borrowed shares. We put the money in our account. Then we wait for the shares to drop in price because we know it's going to go down. And when it hits our target, then we'll buy those shares back and just give those shares back to the brokerage. Now, it all sounds so complicated, but it's simply a button that says sell short right next to your buy button in your brokerage page if you know how to do it.
You're just betting the price goes down. That's the easy way to think of it.
Yeah. And then finally, we're using an order, it's called a stop loss, to stop the loss at our target for a loss.
Yeah.
So that 1% that we're committed to lose if the trade goes against us, we'll go ahead and sell it for that, you know, $50 loss. And that's how we stop the loss. That's how we end up having more money in our account at the end of the day. We keep our gains big and our losses small. Hey, thank you for tuning in. Don't forget to check us out at TradingAcademy.com. That's Trading Academy with a D. On behalf of all the producers of the show and my good friend and co-host, Mr. Matthew McGrath, my name is Christopher Crum. It's been my greatest pleasure. We'll talk to you later.
The preceding program was sponsored by Online Trading Academy of Kansas City.